Greetings, all Burger Kids. Today we have a very special episode. As you can hear, I'm speaking English. It's because today we are starting kind of a mini-series, which will talk about the economic situation in Ukraine. We will have several guests. The first guest is already here with me. And it's Oksana from the IER Institute in Kyiv, which we know not only because they are part of the For Liberty Network and the Friedrich Naumann Stiftung community, but also because I have been reading their reports about Ukrainian economy for the past several months. They produce on a regular basis quite a comprehensive English information about Ukrainian economy. So it was a very natural choice to choose this institute and the think tank to talk about Ukrainian economy. I've been talking for way too long for the introduction. So greetings again. And before we start with the economic stuff, with the numbers, with the business, let's talk a bit about how is it to work as an institute, as a think tank in Ukraine in these days. How does it look like?
Good afternoon. I'm glad to talk here. And a bit about who am I and where I'm from. So we are Institute for Economic Research and Policy Consulting. This is, I think, one of the oldest Ukrainian economic policy think tank. And we work more than 20 years in area of economic policy analysis, providing with a recommendation. And recent years, we work with civil society in Ukraine in order to develop the capacity for increasing analytical capacity of Ukrainian civil society in regions. Because in principle, civil society in Ukraine is very important driver of reform, which we had during the last decade. We focused most on economic area. We focused on production producing the forecast, analysis of Ukrainian economy from macro perspectives. Also, we conduct a lot of survey, and I'm personally a head of Center for Contemporary Society Studies. This is a unit within our institute, and we work with different survey or enterprise survey. It's not a citizen, it is an enterprise, in order to get from the first hand information about what is happening in enterprise level in Ukrainian economy, what is the prospect of Ukrainian enterprise managers, and this is create some kind of expectation and anticipation, and it's allow us to get understanding is it things in economic policy moving in the right side or in the wrong side. And also it is important to collect information from the business about the assessment of the business climate, of the regulatory environment, and some kind of the feedback about the reforms and measures that government undertaken in order to improve economic policy, not only economic policy, but policy, internal policy in Ukraine. After the full-scale Russian aggression started in February 2022, we a bit focus our activities, in particular, not only collecting and analyzing the situation in Ukrainian economy, because we started to do it much more frequently. For example, we conduct our enterprise survey on a monthly basis. Before it was on a quarterly basis. But also we put a lot of attention for sharing the information about the state of current state of Ukrainian economy, about the perspective, different type of analysis. First of all, it is important for our government because we need a different source to assess what is what's happening here in economy, because first months of full-scale aggression, of course, a bit destroyed the system of collection statistical data. But also it is important to inform a different type of audience, first of all, within Ukraine and outside Ukraine, of what is happening in a country. So we have several Facebook channel. We have we are very active in a Twitter, in a Telegram, a social network, in order to provide a different type of information about what is happening in Ukrainian economy, economic policy, etc. And also we put a lot of attention for some special sectoral reform. For example, we before war and now we work with the issue of the customs reform because it's an important reform of the public finance in Ukraine. And as I told, we work for developing and civil society. And after war, it was some kind of challenge for us because local civil society start to be very active, like a volunteer helping Ukrainian population, which impacted by war. And we, together with our donors, of course, refocused our efforts on supporting not only analytical initiatives or some analytical capacity development of the civil society organization, but also providing them direct help and support for their future and next helping of Ukrainian population, which and coping some key needs. First of all, for example, we work with the civil society organization in local territorial communities. We call this the Hromadas, who help some refugees or in internally displaced persons within country, for example, who must escape from occupied territory and moved in the western or central part of Ukraine, and these people need to be adopted in this local community, and we together with our sub-grantees trying to help them, trying to establish some kind of the dialogue between new people who came in this community and the local government. So it's a bit challenge and the new activities for us, adding to our regular economic analysis forecast and providing some advice for the government or for the local authorities.
That's a quite a lot of activities. I noticed already on your website that you have a very wide field of what you do. How many people is your institute?
It's about 30 people, full-time employee, and I think about up to five who work with us on permanent base. So about 30-35 employees, because a lot of efforts we put on this sub-granting activities, and it's not research staff, but it is important people who help us with working with this civil society organization in the region, support them.
When I was communicating with you, I was actually communicating with, I think, four women and zero men. Is it something, is it an accident, or is it really can be seen also in institutes that men are being drafted and cannot participate so much in the economic activity?
We are women oriented organization. It's like it was a before war. Also, our hit of the world is men. And we have, of course, my colleagues, we have colleagues, men, but yes, the men participate in economic activities within the country, but of course, a lot of, not a lot of, but there are men who are mobilized. And for example, in our organization, in November, our head of subgranting department was mobilized in the Ukrainian army, and now he is a servant. So it's one of the reason, and another civil society or analytical think tank in Ukraine also faced with this issue. Yes, a man is sometimes is mobilized, but of course it's not all men are mobilized, and it's not for our sectors. It's not the issue. In principle, but yes, a lot of my colleagues whom I know start to be a member of Ukrainian army in the voluntary base. So they go to the army and ask, I would like to be mobilized. This is also important issue for Ukrainian civil society, when people which in past helped to promote and support reform, now they decided by like their personal example, keeping following their personal value, and they joined to Ukrainian army in order to support and struggle for this value. This is not only like in the paper, in the words, they're in their head.
That was kind of my clumsy bridge to our main topic we want to discuss, and that's how's doing business in Ukraine these days. I noticed some polls by MCHM Ukraine, but also your recent survey from I think June or May, the last one, and it seems that quite a decent ratio of businesses continues operating in the Ukraine. Is it can it be said that majority of the businesses survived the first 1.5 year of the major part of the conflict?
I think yes, we can say that. Also we should take into account we are talking about the business which operate in a territory which controlled by Ukrainian government. Because we don't know, and unfortunately, a lot of business are destroyed in those 20. About 20, a bit more than 20% of Ukrainian territory, including Crimea, which are occupied by Russia. Of course, the business there are destroyed, but the business which operated in control in area which controlled by Ukrainian government, almost all after the first shock, a lot of them. Or almost all continue their work. For example, based on our survey, we survey about 500 plus industrial companies every month, and we asking a question: Could you share with us information about the amount of their activity today? Comparing to those what was before February 24, 2022, now the stable percent, only 3% of from our sample said that they stop working and they did not continue. About the 60% of the company are working at full or almost full capacity, meaning more than 75 plus capacity comparing that it was before full-scale aggression started. So most all Ukrainian businesses are adopted and keep working.
But does it count, or is it valid for the whole economy, or is it mainly the bigger industries which are incorporated, or can it be said also about the self-employed and very small businesses, artisan businesses, and so on? Are they able to continue as well?
Yes, in In principle, it is true for medium, small, and even micro businesses. But when we're talking about micro businesses, we should take into account that this is, in principle, solo entrepreneur. And some of these people can go outside of country, for example, like refugees. Here it's and they felt some decrease in demand. I cannot data because there are no new data, but we have a new registration of small macro entrepreneur. I do not say that I don't say how many people who in past was an entrepreneur went out of Ukraine. I think some of them are among those 8 million refugees which are now outside of Ukraine. But in principle, their condition is the same, like for big company. So big company has much more opportunities to restart and their activities, but small business, like a very small business, like selling their some food, selling their coffee, and etc. They feel, in principle, very good. It's some kind of attribute of even if you will go to Kharkiv, which are very close to the front line, and it is very a lot of Russian attack were in past, but the cafe and restaurant, which are usually like a small business operation, are open in Kharkiv. So it's some kind of good signal that the food, which are food associated with the small businesses, are in a good condition in Ukraine. Of course, there are some of the company and small business which cannot operate, especially if you're talking about the region which are very close or in a fire line.
I can remember the well-known coffee shop in Bakhmut, which was working almost until the very last day. So it's very, very inspiring. But maybe can you describe how does it look like in terms of availability of business services? Of I don't want to go much into detail about, for example, electricity or general logistics or rail, because we will talk about this with your other colleague. But maybe if you're a businessman and you need a lorry transport, or you need to order something, let's say from the European Union, or you want to use post, are these services working generally okay, or are there big differences?
The services, all services, all life is working like in a normal time. Of course, for example, if we are talking about the transportation via sea, it doesn't work because the seaport is blocked. And during last day, we see like Russia destroyed our port infrastructure and our grain terminals in Odessa in Pivdeno-Ukrainsk and in southern part of the Odessa Oblast. So you cannot, any transportation via sea is blocked, unfortunately. But if you need, for example, if you're talking about the business which work in regional, local levels, so the logistic is, in principle, is established. But when we look through for the list of impediments for doing business based on opinion of our respondent. The logistical problem is among three top problems of doing business in Ukraine, because yes, if your partners or your storages are in the left bridge of the Dnieper, for example, in some Poltava regions, and you need to transfer transport something to Western Ukraine, so there are some kind of, not a deficit, but there are some kind of the of the issue, taking into account the number of bridge across the Dnieper, etc., etc. But if we are talking about the transportation, and if we are talking about the export or import outside of Ukraine, so in this case, of course, there are some kind of the lines and some kind of the stock of companies that are would like to export something, and the capacity not only our border but also capacity of our border of our friends from the border countries from the EU Union are limited, and this is one of the reason why of line it's there are some kind of the stock in the border, for example, if you would like to export something. Now I'm not talking about some blocking of Ukrainian export grain from the Poland and etc. This is, I think, a different part of the story. But if you are talking about another export of another goods, yes, there are some kind of it's not impediment. But if you're a businessman, you should to take into account that you need too much more resources in terms of cost and times in order to cross the board due to this physical limitation of Western board, because this is now only one way when a Ukrainian business can sell their products or buy something outside and bring into Ukraine. There are only a Western board, no fly and no sea connection.
Unfortunately, not only Poland is blocking the grain, but also Slovakia. Despite the record growing food prices, it seems that the farming lobby is just very, very strong in all these countries, all European countries. So anyway, maybe one more question about the daily functioning. How does it work with safety, especially when we are talking about, let's say, some industrial companies where there is some risk of possibility being attacked? Are there any regulations how they should build shelters to make some drills? Or is it more a bottom-up approach that every company tries to find their own best way how to behave in case there is imminent, or even if an attack happens on the facility?
Thank you. This is a very good question, because the security issue is one of the important issue for business, for any business climate, and of course it's important issue now for Ukraine. According to our survey, in our enterprise survey, the problems of security now it's in a sixth position out of 14 which we have in the list. It's a bit less position, but the number of respondents which said that this is a problem about it's about the 31% in June, in 42 in May. It's less than, for example, we had in the winter when it was a very serious attack for Ukrainian infrastructure. But nevertheless, it's quite high, because, for example, I personally expect that the number of this of the people who said that this is a problem will decrease. But unfortunately, no. There are some kind of requirement which are work for all people in Ukraine. For example, if we hear the rate of air alarm, we need to go to shelter But of course, the problem and there, if you have shelter around of you and some shelter which are good property and good quality, this is an issue because, of course, nobody would prepare to such kind of the war. And the best shelter is the metro station, of course, in a big city. When we are talking about small and medium business, so they, in principle, such kind of facility, they have not any special shelter. They used all shelter which used another citizen. Big companies which used for facilities of the big Soviet factories, which some of them in past built, taking into account some kind of nuclear attack. So that facility, of course, much more better. But anyway, if there are your facilities under attack, the only anti-missiles weapon which Ukraine received now from our Western partner will help and will make the situation much more secure. Because, for example, we try to do some kind of the exercise. We put in a chart the number of missiles attack which we had in since September last year, and the number of respondents in our survey which said that it is unsecure, it is unsecure work in their area. And we see some kind of the correlation when the number of rocket attack increased before May, we also observed increase the next month the share of the respondents that say, okay, the security is the issue. And then after May, when Ukraine received a Patriot weapons, maybe we received this early, but in May it started to work. And we all of us saw the result. The result good for us and not good for our enemy. This tendency is stopped. So now the company felt much more secure. At least before, I cannot say every time when we start to say about the correlation and relation between security and economic and business climate or economic well-being, every time before or next day, the Russians start do something much more terrible than it was before. So I don't know how the recent attack to the Odessa and the port and grain capacity will impact for opinion of the business in Ukraine this month. I don't know, but I hope totally the security will not the feeling of security will not change. And also it is important to say that it is very big difference between the regions. Of course, there are some kind of the regions where are very hard reachable for Russians weapon or maybe they do not use the proper weapons, and these regions are felt much more and perceived much more secure, and the business optimism in that regions much more high. So we're talking about the regions which lie in the western part of the country near the border.
Was there a big shift inside Ukraine of the economic activity? Maybe companies from Zaporozhye or the eastern part moving their production to the western part?
Yes, it is true when we're talking about micro, small, and partly medium, but almost of all micro small businesses, because they very if you provide some kind of the services, you can provide the services in another city, in another regions. If you produce something not very big, you can put your equipment and send, for example, to Western regions, and then ask for help, because there are some special program of Ukrainian government to help for removing their capacity, and you can still produce what you want. But of course, when you're talking about a large company with a large capacity, so they cannot be moved. And of course, this company need in closing, so like a closing sky, in much more secure weapons, which will secure this facility, plans of these companies from the mass Russians rocket attack.
Yeah, sure. It's difficult to move a steel maker from one place to another. And maybe can you see a difference between international companies and Ukrainian owned? My hypothesis is that being a part of a global company gives you a lot of help from the mother to your local. So can you see the difference, for example, in terms of financial health or generally attractiveness to employees or ability to keep production between Ukrainian-owned and international companies?
In principle, the company which have their mother's headquarters outside of Ukraine, in principle, they had much more because they operate their business in Ukraine is a part of much more global global business, much more the global plan, and etc. etc. Of course, they have much more opportunities. For example, to first of all, to keep their staff, to help their personnel. So I know the example of Ukrainian, one of the biggest Ukrainian steel producers, which in foreign ownership, they help their employee to remove investment part of the country or send their family outside of the country, because any moving it is costly. One issue when you're going it by yourself, like refugees, and another issue when somebody help you to move and to adopt in a new place. First of all, it's increased loyalty of employee for these companies when they felt, especially in the first months of the war, such kind of the support. And theoretical and practical, as a company with the foreign capital or with foreign ownership, they had much more opportunities than Ukrainian owned company, and this is why that the original Ukrainian business should be like they. It was some kind of the interview, and some of the manager told me that we need to be much more strong, because behind of us only we. Nobody else is behind of us. So that is why that in this case, the Ukrainian business need some kind of they need to be much more stronger. And maybe in this case, despite of even the market economy rules, but despite of these rules, the Ukrainian such kind of the business needs some kind of state support, because they of course have the less resource and a lot of resource, but it is true for Ukrainian and foreign owned business in Ukraine, a lot of resource the company spent not only for the economic activities but also on donation, on support, volunteer and humanitarian aid and activities within country. It is true for both for Ukrainian and for foreign companies. But yes, I think that foreign company which has some kind of headquarter outside of the country, at least they have much more opportunities to recover, rebuild if the owner will make such kind of the decision, keep business in Ukraine. By the way, it's very important when foreign companies keep a decision, make a decision to keep business in the country. It's very good encourages signal for another business in Ukraine. So we applaud for such kind of the decision. But they have much more opportunities to be stronger than pure Ukrainian-owned company. It's according to my personal opinion.
That actually quite connects to my last complex question. And it's about the trajectory and the future. First half of the question is, how would you say the business environment was doing before the full-scale war? Because I remember our ex-prime minister Mikuláš Dzurinda, our ex-prime finance minister Ivan Mikloš being very active in Ukraine. So we had kind of quite a lot of information, and it seemed that the Ukrainian competitiveness is doing quite okay in the, let's say, since 2014. I also remember personally, I was in Kyiv in 2007 and then again in 2017, and I believe there was a big difference in the 10 years. So my personal feeling is that the country was doing quite okay in terms of economic development. So how to get back on the track, of course, counting that the hostilities end and the war is reasonably victorious for Ukraine, what is needed to be done to attract the businesses back, to attract new investment, maybe to start more exploration of natural resources, just to kickstart the country after the war?
I think you're completely right that before war, the economic development despite of different moments, the economic development was pretty good. There was conducted a lot of reform, and some of them were successful. First of all, when we're talking about the reform of the decentralization, which allowed the local authorities receive some kind of resource for development of this territory in the local level. It is some kind of relation between business in terms of people and business who first of all, small and medium who operate in this territory, and it was quite successful reform. And I think it's one of the issues why in Ukraine before war, in principle, economic situation was quite good. Also, Ukraine where the country dependent from the export and the metal steel and agriculture for grain and agricultural products was the main product of our export before war. So it was some kind of important tendency or track of our development. Now, what is the main in principle, the business activity is quite high, and the business try to adapt to the situation. The main issue of the situation is uncertainty. If it is important, you should know what will happening, for example, in 3 months, in a 6 months, in a 2 year, in order to build some kind of the plan or the strategy or for development of your business. And when you do not have such kind of the information, it means the level of uncertainty is quite high, and in economic theory, we observed some kind of stagnation of economic development. But here in Ukraine, we observed the uncertainty in different perspective, in a short and in a long term perspective, we see that that now for two year perspective, more than 50% of our respondents cannot say anything about what either they will grow or they will decrease their activities. But at the same time, only 5% said they, okay, we will decrease our activity, and 22 said we will increase. We don't know what will happen, but nevertheless, we will grow. Interest now some kind of the waiting position. They say we will keep what we have now. But it doesn't mean, but this is some kind of issue for long-term development. But if they do not know what will happen in 2 years, because every month we understand more and more that this is war is not a sprint. We understood this last year, but now we realize that this is some kind of very long marathon. And we should prepare it. And now, and business, even in this situation, in a short run perspective, nevertheless, they try to do what they want to do now, like produce and sell. And this is good for some kind of industries, for example, food industries, for example, textile industries, but it is not good for some industries which take some kind of the long-term investment. For example, when your production cycle about 2 years of some production is a 2 year, for example, in a machinery building, civic machinery building, so you cannot do any you have any prospect, you cannot have any ideas what will happen in 2 years, and maybe you will awaiting what will happen now. So first of all, it's our economic perspective, business need to give to receive some kind of certainty. For example, and I understand that it is not real in the situation which we have now. But nevertheless, we need a certainty. We need a clear understanding what is next. Okay, we will have a war at 5 years, for example, 6 years, and let's be prepared. And another issue, this is a security, of course, which we discussed before. We need some kind of this, have some kind of the umbrella for key facilities, for key industrial facilities, in order to secure from them from the physical destruction by the Russian rackets. It's in key importance. And also important issue, it's about people. Because now the time of for people, for refugees thinking about their future, because it can you can spend abroad year or two, maybe year and a half or 2 years, but then you should make immediately a decision what would be next. And if they will return to Ukraine, so here should be created a job for them. And also again security, so the people should feel security by them, secure themselves, their children. So here it also should be any certainty. And this in this situation, it will give us during the war, because nobody knows when victory will. Will come to us, and it will help us to survive and even development during a war. Because if there are no security, nobody will build here or rebuild here the destroyed capacity, for example. But some of the capacity must be rebuilt. For example, if you're talking about the energy capacity and another capacity in infrastructure which support our daily life of the people. So the security will attract people to be back. And of course, another issue, some kind of zero tolerance to corruption, some kind of improving in the business climate. I mean, some very friendly for the entrepreneur tax regime. It's also very important in order to develop, keep doing business. And I think all together, it will help us to survive and develop after the victory.
I believe I personally was pretty surprised by the resilience showed the numbers. Also, your institute publishes. We were talking more about the micro data, GDP, and fiscal status in one of the next recordings. So until then, it was great talking to you. Hope we will soon be able to talk about the reconstruction and the opportunities that Ukraine can offer. I always remember that the example of Poland, which I don't know, 25 years ago, okay, it was not after war, of course, but 25 years ago, it was a country, it was, people were kind of joking about them, you know, especially in the West, all these cheap Polish laborers. Today, it's, I think, the sixth biggest economy in the European Union, and they are like really, really a powerhouse. And I believe this can be also the example of Ukraine, the future, because the resources, the abilities, and maybe even the war experience, which really like toughens people, toughens businesses, makes them more resilient, more focused. At the end, in a few years, it can be an asset for the future development. So until then, hope everything goes great from now, and looking forward for next updates and reports from your institute.
Yes, I think also we will. We are strong, and all will be victory, and all will be okay.